I'm going to read from Supporting the Troops, A Dilemma with Many Questions. This was written by Dr. John Marciano, and Dr. Marciano is Professor Emeritus at the State University of New York at Cortland, and co-author of Lessons of the Vietnam War. He lives in Santa Monica, California. Supporting the Troops, A Dilemma with Many Questions. Each Sunday, Veterans for Peace places crosses at Arlington West on the Santa Monica, California beach in remembrance of U.S. war dead in Iraq. At the time of this writing, it was 1,127 and counting, he says. It's now over 2,000. It is a deeply moving sight as fallen soldiers are memorialized next to our historic pier. According to a Vietnam veteran, the memorial is not intended to serve as a political action. No matter what one's political beliefs, no one can deny the need to honor those who have lost their lives. Santa Monica's somber memorial is not a nationalist remembrance of our dead, as witnessed by a large cross and statement acknowledging the Iraqis who have been killed thus far in the conflict, more than 100,000 according to a recent British report. The staggering loss of life, however, is dramatically less than the estimated 1 million Iraqis who have died as a result of the U.S.-led UN sanctions that were put in place in 1990, supported by both major parties and Presidents Bush 1, Clinton, and Bush 2. In the current anguish over this conflict and desire to oppose the Bush regime, we may forget that far more people died in Iraq under the Clinton administration from those cruel sanctions than from the current invasion and occupation and the first Persian Gulf War in 1991. Santa Monica's memorial takes me back to July 26, 1969, my 29th birthday, when I, as an anti-war activist with Students for a Democratic Society, SDS, joined others as my Vietnam combat veteran brother presented an American flag on behalf of a grateful nation to the mother of his best friend who was killed in the war. At the request of the family, my brother escorted his friend's body home on a journey from Vietnam to Rochester, New York. The mother and her daughters are part of my family. Therefore, my struggle with the dilemma of supporting the troops is not simply an intellectual exercise. I remain deeply torn by a support our troops view that avoids confronting the root causes for which they fight and die. How can we support those who take part in an aggressive and unjust war? What are we to think about U.S. soldiers who fought in other wars, the centuries-long genocidal assault against American Indians that destroyed their people, land, and culture? Would we support those who served with General Sullivan in 1779, as the Revolutionary War leader laid waste to the Cayuga Nation of the Iroquois Confederacy, a scorched-earth campaign that left crops and villages burned and thousands dead? How could we support U.S. troops in 1890 who took part in the last massacre of original Americans at Wounded Knee, South Dakota, where hundreds of Lakota men, women, and children were killed by the U.S. 7th Cavalry? Historian David Stannard tells us the survivors were tracked down for miles around and summarily executed. Women and children accounted for more than two-thirds of the Indian dead. That's from The American Holocaust, The Conquest of the New World, on page 126. In the 1960s and 70s, what did it mean for U.S. citizens to support the troops in a war that left some 2.3 million dead, 3.2 million wounded, and 14.3 million refugees throughout Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos? What about U.S. aggression in the Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Grenada, Haiti, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, the Philippines, and Southern Africa? In these and other U.S. wars, did support for the troops help justify the policies of powerful Washington elites who were the ultimate war criminals in these unnecessary human tragedies? Can we support U.S. soldiers who execute policies condemned by the Nuremberg Tribunal in language that clearly places individual responsibility above merely following immoral and illegal orders? Troops who reject illegal orders are harshly punished by authorities, however, as we see from the few soldiers being court-martialed for refusing to kill in Iraq, and the thousands who resisted during the Vietnam War. If we take the Nuremberg Code to heart, however, should not those courageous soldiers who refuse unjust orders be the ones we support? If the war against Iraq is an illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional atrocity, how can we possibly support the Marine Corporal, one of a group of U.S. snipers that have killed hundreds of Iraqis in Fallujah, who coldly stated, "Sometimes a guy will go down, and I'll let him scream a bit to destroy the morale of his buddies. Then I'll use a second shot." With 24 confirmed kills to his credit, this Marine concluded, "I couldn't have asked to be in a better place. I just got lucky to be here at the right time and with the right training." From the Los Angeles Times of April 19th, 04. Millions of U.S. citizens are strongly opposed to the war against Iraq, and yet claim to support those who carry out the terror that it necessarily entails. Supporting the troops is not some abstract slogan, but a belief that must confront the concrete actions of the Marine quoted above, or another who stated, "We had a great day today. We killed a lot of people." It means supporting the thousands of troops who apparently embrace this mission. In the view of writer Arundhati Roy, it is a mission that will surely go down in history as one of the most cowardly wars, in which a band of rich nations armed with enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world several times over, rounded on a poor nation, falsely accused it of having nuclear weapons, used the United Nations to force it to disarm, then invaded it, occupied it, and are now in the process of selling it. That's from the Sydney Morning Herald of November 4, 04. Those who oppose this cowardly war wish to condemn it and support those carrying out the slaughter. Such a position appears to rest on the principle that U.S. soldiers' lives are more precious than Iraqis, a view that cannot be defended on any philosophical or religious grounds. Although one must acknowledge that many men and women have not truly made a free choice given the class nature of our economic draft, and the Marine quoted above and others like him have been trained as uncritical warriors by clergy, education, and mass media, virtually all U.S. soldiers in Iraq are executing their orders faithfully, rather than adhering to the Nuremberg Code and resisting the conflict. Conscience and law, therefore, obligate us to oppose both the war and the warriors, and move beyond narrow support to see the conflict for what it is, a crime against humanity. You have been listening to a reading of Dr. John Marciano's Supporting the Troops, A Dilemma with Many Questions. It was published in the spring of 2005. Dr. John Marciano is Professor Emeritus at the State University of New York at Cortland and co-author of Lessons of the Vietnam War. He lives in Santa Monica, California. This program was produced by the LA Sound Posse. The LA Sound Posse records speeches and events dealing with social justice issues. We anti-copyright these recordings and share them via the internet, via community radio, and CDs distributed through grassroots social justice groups, nonprofit organizations, committed individuals, and others. Our goal is to be a part of the creation of a broad-based, participatory, and democratic civic media in support of the creation of a truly democratic society. You can reach us on the web at www.lasoundposse.org. Contact us for copies of this program on CD. You can download it for free at radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. If you value what you heard on this program, please feel free to copy and distribute it to others who you think would benefit from hearing it, and thus becoming yourself a part of a decentralized, democratic, civic media.